is right here.
So there's a follow-up from yesterday. I was looking into this thing about Puravu. So I just wanted to see if I could find the Raya in the Rambam, the mitzvah of the tzibur, you know? So there is one halacha I found, which I think is a good support, which is, it's on the halacha of Puravu Midrabanan. If you're familiar with that, then as a Minah Torah, you just have to have a boy and a girl. But Midrabanan, you basically got to keep going. Okay? The Rambam says it's Tezvav Tezayin in Ishas. Afal pisha ki emadam mitzvahs peruv revya. Harihu mitzuva midivrei sofrim. She lo yivatil meilifros v'lo lirbos kolzman sheyesh bokach. Okay. So for a second. Why? She kol hamosif nefesh achas b'Yisrael ki ilu bana olam. Okay. Because if you add one nefesh in Yisrael, it's like you're building the world. Okay. So according to what we're saying is it's not just tam a nice thing. Because, oh yeah, you're not only doing mitzvah of Puravu, but you're also building the world. Or adding a nefesh achas b'Yisrael. I'm saying that is the mitzvah of Puravu, is adding a nefesh in Yisrael and building up, building Klal Yisrael. That's the mitzvah. Now it's true, Min HaTorah only yichiv, there's a p'tor when you reach a certain amount, the quantity, a boy and a girl. But the institution of Puravu is building Klal Yisrael. Okay, that's the institution. So that's what I'm saying, is that since that's the institution, you don't say, like, once I'm Yotze, then forget about it. It's true you're Yotze technically, but the Darabonan is, the concept is still exists, and that's the Darabonan, they're saying that's also Mechayev. But you see, it sounds like from the Rambam. I'm not saying it's a proof, but it's an indication. The Rambam is saying that is the mitzvah of Peruva, you know. And that's the mitzvah of, that's not just some individual mitzvah. My mitzvah versus your mitzvah. That's a mitzvah which involves Klal Yisrael. It's a different type of mitzvah. So that mitzvah is going to, that mitzvah you'll say that that the other guy will take precedence. Beautiful. Okay. So we're doing the second answer in Tosos. Okay? So again, according to this way of reading, they're saying is that really the mitzvah of your mitzvah to do the mitzvahs yourself, and your mitzvah to your so to speak arvos to another guy, are really on par. Okay, they're on the same level. And therefore, if you have a clash between you and him, and you're, for instance, a mitzvah kala and he's a mitzvah chamura, so really you should go with him. Don't go with you. Really, no, you're on the same level, so chamura wins out of a kala. Okay, chamura wins out of a kala. And you say, you should be a chote, a little chote, to prevent him from being a big chote. That's really the way to go. Okay, that's really the way things should be. And that's why, for instance, we say that you free your Eved, you violate the Isra Asay of Lalom Em Tavodu, in order so that he could get the Asay of Puravu, which is Chamura. So, because you're basically equal, so therefore the Kala and Chamura is going to be the way to determine. Okay. But, the problem is that now Gemara of Shesha says that you cannot pull the bread off of the oven, violate the Isra Darabanan, in order to allow him, in order to prevent him from the Isra Daraisa. You can't. You don't say that. You don't say that you could do a small avera to help the other guy. Oh, but that seems against his principle, because why not? Your friend is Arvus. You have a responsibility of Arvus to your friend, and this is a big avera of baking the bread on Shabbos and Malacha Daraisa. Yours is an Isra Darabanan. So why don't you say that your responsibility to him takes precedence over your responsibility? Okay, and you should be able to do a small avera because in order to prevent his big avera. What's the difference between you and him? If he could do it, then why can't you do it? Right? If he would be able to prevent his own, so why can't you? If we're saying that Arvos and your own Chiv are on par, so it should be the same exact thing. So Tosus answers, no. Because here, the other guy was a poshaya. The other guy was a poshaya. In other words, when he put the bread in the oven, spicer, I guess, right? That was an act of pshia. He wasn't careful. He wasn't careful, even with Shogeg, he wasn't careful with Shabbos, because that's only, it's gonna come to Fia. Okay, to Malacha. So that was really a Pashia. So now I'm faced with the scenario of I could do this Darabanan to protect him from violating a Deoraisa, when he was a Poshea in the first place, that you don't do. Now again, we said is that it's not pshat that if he's poshea, there's no arvos. Because let's say I wasn't going to be doing an eser darabanan. If a guy is poshea and he's getting himself stuck in a situation, so of course I have to help him. Seems it's only because the chiyom lo la'adam chata b'kdei shiyachas gachavarechatz, because you're doing a chait. So if you're saying Arva still applies, even though the other guy's a Poshaya, so then why is it that when he's a Poshaya, that you say now all of a sudden you don't say that I go with him as opposed to me, if he's Chamura and I'm Kala? Like, what's the formula here? That's what you have to understand.
I think you're saying it. So Chaim's question is what's the whole idea of Arvas? Because what sense does it make to say, maybe this is what's bothering, what's that other guy's name? Hal. Maybe it was bothering Hal yesterday. Is that he, because what's the sense to the thing? You know, you understand the idea of saying that you're primary and your friend's secondary. That makes sense. Because you're you and everyone else is everyone else. But what's the sense to say that it's equal chiyuvim? Right? After all, you're you. Everyone else is everyone else. But I think the idea, as Ishai was saying, was that, see, if you look at the purpose of the Torah and the mitzvahs is to give each guy, like, the system of Tag mitzvahs is to give each, it's essentially there to give each guy perfection. So then you're right. So essentially I have to worry about my perfection, he has to worry about his perfection, and, you know, then the question is a good question. But I think that perfection is true, and that's the backdrop of the Torah does give each person perfection, but that's not the system of Tag Mitzvah. Tag Mitzvah is a system of mitzvahs, which is given to Klal Yisrael to be involved in Kiddush Hashem. Prior to Tag Mitzvah, so you had every individual pursuing perfection. But this is a system designed for Klal Yisrael to take on a certain role of teaching ideas to the world, or maintaining the existence of true ideas. And that's the objective of the mitzvahs. And now it's true that ultimately gives the person the highest perfection. That's true. But that's the system is a system of Kiddush Hashem. And as such, there's no difference really if the Kiddush Hashem takes place through me or through somebody else. The point is that we are responsible to ensure that Klal Yisrael has a certain type of an existence. Now, of course, practically, the way I do that is by I you know, it's like I get dressed for myself in the morning, I do the mitzvahs for myself in the morning, you know. But it's not to say because my mitzvah is more important than his mitzvah, because they're two equal participants in Klal Yisrael in that objective of Machzor Mikodesh. So it's true, in general, there's a priority that, practically, there's a priority of I deal with myself and then I deal with my friend. But if there's a clash, now I basically have two breakdowns in the institution of Klal Yisrael. One in a mitzvah, in a kala kind of way, and one in a chamura kind of way. So therefore I have to go with protect the chamura. You know what I mean? So in other words, me and him were equal because of the fact that there's no primary and secondary, because it's all two instances of the same objective of Klal Yisrael. You know what I mean? That's the idea behind Arvus, I think. The only thing is, the question is, that halachically set up that way? You could still argue that, since practically speaking, as a system, each person does work on himself. So practically, halachically, the way it's set up is there's the primary responsibility, and then Arvos comes in with the secondary chiyuv. I mean, that's a halachic question. How does it set itself up? But the concept is based on the philosophical notion is that we're all Klal Yisrael, and that's the system of mitzvah. System of mitzvah, the halachic system, is a system of Klal Yisrael functioning in a certain way vis-a-vis the world. You know what I mean?
So here's the thought. Okay, we'll see if I like it, but I'm just thinking, so somewhat along the lines of Shai is going, but I just want to give it a little bit halachic. Okay, and the thing is like this, is that basically what it does turn out, it turns out that there's, that we're saying is that you have two chiyuvim, you have chiyuv to yourself and chiyuv to everyone else. And they're basically on par, saying the same thing. Basically it's a chiyuv to Klal Yisrael, chiyuv to make sure that Klal Yisrael exists in a certain way, and that implies doing the mitzvahs for myself and making sure other people do the mitzvahs or don't do theirs. Okay. So now what happens? So now if you have a scenario where basically it's you against them, so essentially it would seem the argument is, sorry, you mentioned this yesterday, essentially it's like my chazas. Right? My chazas is dama d'dach, so m'ktvei. Well, why should, let's say you could do an avera, he could do an avera. So you'll say, well, I want to protect myself. I want you to protect yourself. Well, you don't want to be an avarion versus him. That's a very good argument in like a perfection. If you're dealing with like a personal motivation, that's true. That's an argument. But that's not in the system of Torah. The system is constructed around the objective of Kiddush Hashem, and there's really no difference between you and him. So therefore, you can't say I want to be avoid the harm and let him be harmed. There's no sense to that. So therefore, rather. So how do you duke it out? How do you decide who's going to get the harm?
I didn't decide on this thing. Who's going to do Avera? So we say Chamura versus Kala. So that's the system. So that, at least that's one way. Is you have Chamura and Kala, so you say one's going to be a greater break and the other's going to be a lesser break. So you have to do the avoid the greater break and do the lesser break. That makes sense. Okay. Because there's no way to decide between the people. There's no way to say he should be the guy. Who, how are you going to pick which guy should be the Avayan and be the Chote? I mean, there's a harm of a Chet. A guy doesn't want a Chet. He doesn't want to be the guy who does a Chet. You know, but there's no way to choose. I mean, yeah, you don't want to be harmed. He doesn't want to be harmed. So the Eved wants to do Peravu. You would want to do Lomam Tavodu. So everyone wants to do the mitzvah, so everyone would love to do it. But there's going to have to be a consequence. Someone's going to have to be an Avayan. Be a Chote. And that's the situation. So you have to choose based upon Chomron and Kula. But like this, is let's say there's a way to decide between the people. So then it would be good. Then you decide, right? Also, it could be he's saying, is it right? Pshia, there's a way to decide. Because if one guy, maybe I'll show the sense of it. The sense of it, I think, is very good. Is that if you have one guy who doesn't know, who's lax about the system, one guy does pshia, he puts the bread in. He's really not, he's a lazy guy. He doesn't care about Torah so much. He puts the bread in the oven, whatever. And now you come to a situation is, that you have him, and he could be an Avarion, or some other tzaddik, who's really a tzaddik, could be an Avarion. And you have to decide, now, who should be the guy who takes the fall? You know what I mean? So, should the guy tzaddik who's observing this thing take the fall, or should the guy who's a pasheya be the guy who takes the fall? So the thing is, now you can't just say, my chaz is knowing the dach, now there's a good argument, is to say that he's the guy who's the pasheya. So since he's the posheya here, he's the guy who's not concerned about the system. It's only right that he should be the guy who's harmed. Whereas when you say arvus, it means if we're both so to speak honestly pursuing the system, and now you have to decide. You can't say I should be put out of him. But if my friend is here, this guy doesn't care about Torah that much, so I have to take a hit for him. He's the guy. He's corrupted himself. Now I have to take a fall for him. That's not right. There's no sense to that. The sense is based upon the fact that there's an equality. There's no way to make a decision because you're just simply two equal participants. Why should one guy fall as opposed to the other? And therefore, you use the kalan chamura to make it to the side. But again, when one guy is the posheya and the other guy is a tzaddik, then there is a resolution. It doesn't make sense. It's not right that the tzaddik should fall for the guy to be mezakeh, the guy who himself is being a posheya here. I mean, it's not right. And Shai, you're saying it's like practically, if you did it, a lot of times it would cause problems. But I'm saying intrinsically, it's not a just resolution. The appropriate resolution of that. When it's a tie and they're both two guys pursuing emes, then you say, yeah, chayishol is chayishol, and they're equals. But if you have a guy who's it's just not a just resolution, the appropriate resolution in a case where one guy's a posheya and the other guy's not a posheya is that let the posheya fall. He was lax. So Chaim's asking a question. The question is, but the whole argument here is that arvos, we're saying is that the whole objective is kiddush Hashem Shemayim, and that's why we're saying is that you and your friend are equal. There's no primary and secondary, because that's all objective. So if that's the case, then the resolution here should be based upon Kiddush Hashem Shemayim. And isn't the Mitzvah Chamura going to cause a greater Echel Hashem than the Mitzvah Kala? So therefore, that's the way we should resolve it. Right, that's your question. Yes, but I think there's two different things. There's one question is how was Arva set up? Was it set up as primary and secondary, or is it set up as simply two chiyuv, two primaries? Okay, that's one question, and that we're saying is set up as two primaries. Yeah, why was it set up that way? Because Kiddush Hashem. I mean, that was like the kind of your question. It's like, why is it set up that way? Why should it be that way? So that's what I was answering. Is that's why it's set up that way. The reason why it's set up that way is because Kiddush Hashem Shemayim, they're really equals. Right, so on a philosophical level, it makes sense to have it that way. There's a sense to it. So fine. So now that, but this, therefore, that's what we explained. That's how it's set up as two primaries. But now, just because it's set up as two primaries, and the reason behind it on a philosophical level is because Kiddush Hashem is ultimate objective, that doesn't necessarily mean that when you have a conflict now between two chiyuvim, that the resolution, that the only consideration and the resolution has to say, well, let's just look at Kiddush Shem Shemayim. It doesn't mean that that's the only factor or that is the factor in deciding. That's just saying that's the principle behind the Arvos. But now if you come to a situation where, so if you come to a situation where basically you have a face-off and they're equals, so now you say it's like a Kal Chamor, so that's a good resolution. And this will make sense in the system of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. That's, in any system, makes sense. Kal Chamor. You know, but still, when you come to a situation where you have a just a clear logical resolution, where you have a clash between me the tzaddik and him the poshaya, so then the Rosh Hashanah is saying is misvara. It doesn't make sense to resolve it anything other than to say that the tzaddik wins out and the poshaya doesn't win out. Now, will that result in the ultimate kiddush Shem Shemayim in the system? No. It won't, because you're going to have an Issa Chamor being violated and Issa Kalah being violated. But that doesn't, this Svara is not saying that is the riding principle in any halachic discussion that you have. We're just saying that that is the premise upon which Arvos is built, and in the particular question of is it primary, subprimary, secondary, that's what's the determinant. You know, but he's saying is that you can't, but now when you come to a decision, you have to make a decision based on chachma, based on rational principles. Now Rosh Hashanah is saying is that he's saying in a rhetorical way, but he's, I think his point is that that is not a rational resolution. It's not a resolution to say, to force a guy who is to take a fall for the other guy who's the poshaya. You know, now, even though it's true that if different, you can't accomplish everything. So something you're going to, by doing that, there's going to be a greater Kiddush Shem Shemayim, less Kiddush Shem Shemayim. But on the other hand, you could argue, by having an irrational system like that, that's also going to be a Chilul Hashem. I mean, you know, like, you have the different principles in which they're going to resolve the issue. So that's the way, the total thing is that is what Rosh Hashanah is coming. I mean, that's what you need Rosh Hashanah to come along and say. It's not you have to say it. If Rosh Hashanah didn't come along before the Gemara asked it, that's the Gemara was trying to make a push. But Rosh Hashanah is saying is that that's not as not mislaber. It's not mislaber to say that you're going to do an that you're going to do that you have to take that a tzaddik has to take it for a push. You know, you could have argued, but that's Rosh Hashanah's argument. You know, that's why I'm saying I'm answering your question, because the fact that Kiddush Shem Shemayim there was the reason why it was set up that way doesn't force that this resolution is based upon that. It could be an argument, and that you could have a resolution like that, but Rosh Hashanah is saying, no, this resolution is a more mistaber. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's really the main argument. This tells us there's no you versus him. There's Klal Yisrael, and there's everyone in Klal Yisrael. There's no you versus him. That's what the main thing is, the second answer is negating. There's no you versus him. But there is Tzaddik versus Rasha. There is a Vayon versus a. It's not because I don't. It's not. Maybe I was saying it that way. It's not because I don't want to take the hit for this poshaya, this bum. It's not me versus him. It's not just. It's not an appropriate resolution in the Torah to say that the tzaddik should take a hit for the rasha. That's an unjust system. That's not a logical system. It doesn't make sense. Doesn't mean the system is given to people, and that's just not a proper, it's not an appropriate resolution. So the greater Kiddush Hashem, you can't create an injustice or an irrational system for the sake of the greater Kiddush Hashem. That's what I was saying. I mean, it's hard to make these kinds of arguments, but I'm saying that you could argue that would be a greater Chilul Hashem, because that's not a rational system. It's a logical question. Just saying is, it's rhetorically, this doesn't make any sense. You can't have a resolution like that. This guy's a Boshaya, and the system's going to force this guy to... And like Boshaya was saying practically, it's like, you can have guys, I mean, the whole system becomes all the tzaddikim, and become a varyonim, and it's just... That's in a practical sense, but there's... In one case, there's a sense that's not logical. You know, so... the Kiddush, there will be a greater Achil in that particular Avera, but it's not the only factor. You know what I mean? And the fact that we're bringing it in over there, and going, Kal Chomer, how are you going to decide? Since there's no me and him, that's a rational way to decide. Not because that's the only thing that we ever consider, but that is the way to decide. There's no me and him, so how are you going to decide? So that's the way to decide. It makes sense to decide that way. You know what I mean? Because it draws out the point of the problem of mixing Hashkafa and Halacha. Because the question before, which started this whole thing, was why should it be that you should be primary, you know, everything's primary. It's not primary, secondary. So I mean, halachically, that's perfectly. There's no question. I mean, the question is the Torah is setting up. There's definitely two halach, two chiyuv, the chiyuv shmir smitzes and the chiyuv of arvos, and how's it set up halachically? So halachically, it's set up as two primary obligations, or a primary and a secondary, and that's perfect halachically. But now the question, but sometimes you still, you want to get a sense of behind the thing, you know? So you could see, to get a sense, you know, you're further in machlokas. I mean, it's halachically, it's a perfect definition, it's a good svara, but you could sometimes get insight, like a little bit more insight into the kind of the behind the machlokas, you know? But you can't make, that's not the svara, that's the behind the svara, you know? And it's good. It's sometimes it's helpful to do that, and you kind of feel like you have a better sense of the thing. It gives you, you know, but that still is only the behind the halacha. That isn't the halacha. You know what I mean? So it's a good answer, and I think it's good to do. You know, but if they keep the lines clear, when that's the halachic definition, and then that's the behind the halacha. So that answer is because the whole thing is kiddushim shemayim, and therefore it makes sense. You know, that's true. But that's not the halacha. The halacha is that there's two obligations of primary. You know, two primary obligations. And but so the question though is giving strong weight to that behind the halacha, you know what I mean? As opposed to, you know, that was the force of the question, you know what I mean? And once you realize that this is behind it, that's not the halacha, then the force is taken away, you know what I mean? But it's a good instance of the danger when, you know, invoke, like why it's important to keep the lines clear of when you're giving a definition and when you're going beyond the definition, like motivation. Because motivation, a lot of motivations, you know. Motivation is good, but it's not necessarily halacha. Halacha is a strict system, you know what I mean? And not everything, it can't always govern a halacha based upon the motivation. You know what I mean? It's an interesting example. Okay, fine. And then the rest of Tosfos basically just tries to show that, I think is showing, because the second answer to Tosfos is showing really that they're equal. So he shows that with that premise, you and another person are equal. With that premise, he works out other Gemaras. He shows it works out other Gemaras. Okay, other Gemaras support it. Okay, so I'm not going to go through the cases there, but if you want, you can look at them. Okay, so next Tosfos. Okay, so the next Tosfos is, let's get some background here. So what happened here? So you have this Yibaya. You have this Yibaya. Okay. And the question was, well, let's say the guy did a B'mezid. So the guy puts the bread on the oven, B'mezid, on Shabbos, and the Gemara's kasha is, forget the other guy, one guy, okay? Is it mutter for him to violate the shvos of Radias HaPas in order to prevent himself from the Isser Skila, or presumably from Skila, right? I mean, if he's going to do it, he did a B'mezid. So if he basically leaves it in, I mean, that's the case where we stone a guy for. You know, we stone people for baking on Shabbos, for putting bread in the oven and B'mezid. So now he wants to know, this guy is a little bit nervous. He gets nervous after he puts it in, and he realizes he's going to get stoned. And he wants to know, could I take it off and violate this Darbon? So that's the Gemara's Gasha. The Gemara's Yibaya is, could he do that or could he not do that? Okay, could he do that or could he not do that? So, at least this is the way Tosfos is assuming. Okay, this is the way Tosfos is taking it. So now, with that in mind, Tosfos asks, "V'im Tomar, my Yibaya Yizu? What kind of Yibaya is that? Im hitiro lo adosa, if it's mutter to peel it off. Pshita, shelo yishmal lanu im nasarlo." Says, "If we're going to tell the guy it's Asar and he's going to listen, he's going to go to the stoning." And of course, he's a funny question, right? What's funny about it? Right, I mean, what do you mean? What kind of question is that? I mean, if he's a tzaddik, then I'll say, look, the halacha is, it's us to do. So, I mean, he's not going to listen to us. So, I mean, he's an avayim. It's not our problem. I mean, yeah, we want to know, is it mutter, is it not mutter? So, if you tell me that there's an isser darabanan here, and you have no, you can't matu this darabanan in the face of, if that's the way you resolve the sibaya, that you can't resolve it, so now, he's not going to listen to us? I mean, there's a mitzvah of kiddushim shemayim, for instance. So do we say, does the Torah knock that mitzvah out for the big three because he knows he's not going to listen to us? Apparently a guy is willing to take care for the system. That's the idea. And the system, you can't just knock out mitzvahs because people aren't going to listen to you. I mean, tell me the mitzvah, tell me the halacha, and if he's not going to listen to us, then that's his problem. He'll have to deal with that. But what's Tosfos kasha? He's not going to listen to us. I mean, that's a halacha question. Is it mutter, is it asur? Right? Okay, so that's his question, okay? So that's our problem, is what's his question altogether? Okay, but he likes the question. Okay, he likes the question. Tosfos isn't bothered by our question. Apparently he thinks it's a good kasha. This Yibayah doesn't make any sense, because how could you say it's Asaron to do it? He's not going to listen to you. V'tira teriva, de'im lo hetiru, lo mechayev skila. Maybe this is what you're going to say. But de'im lo hetiru, lo mechayev skila. Kimisha meniach melerdos la'yedei ma'ashan ostrim lo. So what's he saying? He's changing the premise. He's saying is it's too powerful, and basically he's saying is if this guy puts the thing in b'mezer, he puts the bread in the oven b'mezer, and then he says, oh, here are tshuva. He says, you know what? I want to take it off, and he's ready to take it off to prevent the isur deraisa of fia. And the other rabbanon say, nope, sorry, too late. So he says, we're not going to stone that guy because he really wants to take it off. He really wants to take it off. So what, he's just not doing it because the Rabban told him not to do it. But he really would love to take it off. So that guy's not Chayav Misa. You see how Avami Maskani, why that guy would be Chayav Misa. So we have to explain that, right? But I mean, there's a certain sense to it, a certain sense to this argument, but we have to define why you'd say he is or isn't Chayav Misa. But basically he's saying he's not Chayav Misa. He's not Chayav Misa. He's not actually going to be stoned. Oh, so now it's a good question. So he's not actually going to be stoned. That's his premise now. So now it's a good Ibaya. So he's not going to actually be stoned, but he's still going to be over in Isidore Raisa. So the question is it mutter for the guy to violate this Darabana in order to avoid this Daraisa? But it's not a matter of stoning. Okay? It's an Isser Skila. It's not actually Skila. That's why the Gemara had it also. It's an Isser Skila. If you look carefully. But he's in the top of me, you know, he's just assuming Skila. It's amazing. But now he's adding in a new premise. He's changing the premise and saying is that no. That he's not really going to get stoned, and therefore the Ibaya makes sense again. Okay? Okay, good. So now he's Raya. And he says, I'll prove it to you. Mechain Ripsachim, Bisov Perka Isha, Aurel Hazov Yizamel, Hamidid Vrem Makam Karis. Ama Lomachai of Karis, Hol Rabbanu Da Asri, let them have a Pasach. So you have basically cases, what this is talking about is you have cases there, three cases, where, for instance, a person doesn't bring Karim Pasach, so they're Chayv Karis. Okay? You don't bring Karim Pasach, Chayv Karis. So there are certain cases where Midarabana, and like Aurel, it's like a guy, converts. So technically, once he converts, even though he was, so to speak, touching Tamei things that day, a guy is not Mekabel Tama, and therefore he doesn't become Tamei, and therefore he converts. He's Arel, if he gets Mila, he could basically bring carbon that night. But the Rabbanon said, if he does that, then next year he's going to make a mistake, he's going to touch Tama the day before, and he's going to end up bring carbon Pesach with Tama. So it's a Siag, it's a Gezerah, they say that an Arel can't bring carbon Pesach. Okay, and the other cases also. Yizamel, if you want to bring the knife, whatever cases, they're different cases, okay? But basically, there are three cases where the Rabbanon said, we're going to be Gozer, and we're going to tell a guy, you're not allowed to bring the Karban Pasach. Okay? You're not allowed to bring the Karban Pasach. Right? So is the guy going to get Skila? Is he going to give me Chayv Karis? Okay, he's going to give me Chayv Karis. So, I guess that according to the Havamina of Tosfos, it would have been Chayv Karis. Right? Of course, I mean, if you don't have skila, you don't have karis, because basically the guy has to bring karban pesach. Now, the rabbanon told him not to, but so what? You should be chayav karis. Right? But he's saying is, but you see, he's saying, you see from there, but you see the rabbanon, basically, where himidu devrayim and makam karis. The Gemara says is that even though there's karis involved, the rabbanon did not back off. And they made their isur anyways. So he's saying, you see from here that a guy's not going to be chayav karis. See from here, that guy's not even Chayv Karis. How do you see that?
The Chum will make this Gezerah, it's going to make him Chayv Karis as a Siyag, but the next year he'll do something wrong and maybe be Chayv Karis.
Okay, but I mean, you see, in theory, they would tell the guy not to take the bread off. I mean, that's in that one case. I mean, the Asapas is a general lesser. So, general lesser.
One case, at least that,
that's the breaks. Maybe Chayv Misa, whatever. But, I mean, here, the whole situation itself is a setup that the guy's going to be Chayv Misa. He's going to get Karis every single time this halacha applies. Because basically the halacha is, don't do Karim Vesa. So you're saying is that can't be, doesn't make any sense to say that they're going to actually be Chayv a guy Karis. So you're saying it must be that he's not Chayv Karis. So you see, apparently, not Chayv Karis. If you listen to the Ravana. So similarly, saying, you know, I can be Chayv Misa, listen to the Ravana. What does he say? Is that it doesn't make sense. The Ravana can never make it to halacha like that. If you do the Ravana Karis, can't mean they're forcing every guy to be Chayv Karis. It's crazy. That's what it can't be. So it must be there's no Chayv Karis.
That's no chiv karis. And then same thing here, there's no chiv misa.
But by past, the original
takana. Right, but past, the original takana was Rav Yosef Pasi's also. And this happens to be one crazy case where the guy ends up being chayv misa because it's kind of the Rabbanon. Then you could have argued that the guy would be chayv misa. Aye, the Rabbanon. But the Rabbanon aren't making a takana to be chayv misa. Their takana was if the guy put it in on Erev Shabbos. And then it's not going to be any chayv misa. Then they're just going to say you have to keep it on. But now this guy did it, I've amazed it on Shabbos. Then look, that's the breaks. So you can't prove it from that case. So he's proving it from the case of Kares. He's proving it from the case of Kares. Where that is the very Gufa Takana itself. Okay, that's good. That's good. So what we have to explain is two things. Well, first of all, what was his question? What was his question in the first place? And then, what's his Havim Askana about whether you're going to be Chayiv Kares? Whether you're going to be Chayiv Kares or Chayiv Misa for listening to the Rabbana. It's a little bit different, by the way, because over there you're really amazed. So I could ask him. I just thought his question. But over there, you're putting the bread in the oven and maize it. So then, yeah, you're listening to the Rabbanon who tell you not to do it. But they, I mean, after all, you were amazed in the first place. But in the case of the Karban Pesach, I mean, you didn't do anything. I mean, you'd really love to bring the Karban Pesach. They're just telling you, don't bring it. So, I mean, it's hard to imagine there you'd be Chayiv Kares. I mean, that's a good question. What's the comparison? There's no comparison. Because the question here is, if you do something b'mezid, and you had the opportunity to prevent it, and the Rabbanon tell you not to, so what it's saying is maybe you'd say, look, you're Chayiv Kares, you're Chayiv Misa, because after all, you did it b'mezid. Right? That was a Zavmin, apparently. But then, now what are you showing me? That if the Rabbanon tell me, don't bring Karban Pesach, I'm not going to be Chayiv? Of course. So I didn't do anything wrong then. So that's not, it's showing me that you're not Chayiv Kares there when the Rabbanon tell you not to bring Karban Pesach doesn't prove that if the guy didn't afiyah b'mezid and then there's the Rabbanon stop him from preventing it, that doesn't mean there, maybe there he is going to be Chayiv. That's good kasha. I have to explain, that's not a kasha. Right? I mean, this is not comparable. If you think about it, they're not really comparable. He's not proving it, it's not a good proof. Okay, so then if you finish with this stuff, then you could go further than Tosas. Certain Tosas gets into Hasra Safik. Okay, we can get into, parenthetically, we're going to try to do a little bit about the Sugya of Hasra Safik. You have to get some of the facts, okay?